Church, there's going to be a stirring of hearts and a shaking of... I believe that God wants to challenge us. Amen. This is not a negative word by any means. It's a positive word. And when we look at heaven, it's going to be positive. But God is in the business of shaking, because as a church, we cannot just have the concept that church is here, sitting behind stained glass windows and enjoying ourselves. The gospel is more than that. The gospel I love. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. The gospel saved me because it's good news. But the gospel not only affects my life, but I believe that the gospel will affect the world out there, because we have the answer. And the answer is that Jesus is Lord. Come on, church. He is Lord. When you read that book on heaven, you will suddenly realize just what the resurrection of Christ has accomplished. Amen. Because not only will I have a new body, there will be a whole new earth for this body to live in. We're not going to float around there with some kind of just spiritual being. God, we're going to have bodies. Are you going to recognize me? For some of you, unfortunately, yes. Yes. I will recognize my brother always. That's his DNA. He'll always be tail. There will never be a day when he will not be tail. Amen. He's not going to be anybody different on the new earth. He's going to be who he is. There is a continuity. Amen. And thank God for this gospel that we have. I'm not ashamed. We need to understand our Christian belief and our values and everything that centers around the person of Christ, his death and resurrection. Come on, Christian. It's not just something extra, little added. It's totally different to any world religion. Totally different. Because of resurrection of who we are in Christ. And we need to understand exactly what we believe. What we believe, it will motivate you to share. It will motivate you to understand the message that we have. But we're not just a happy little club, clapping hands, raising our arms, enjoying God's presence, enjoying the beauty of a nice church building. No, it's much, much more. Because tomorrow morning, when I'm at the office, or whether I'm at the school working as a teacher, or a nurse at the hospital, tomorrow morning I will be taking the presence of God with me into that hospital ward, into that classroom, into the office. I'll be taking the presence of God with me. We're going to read from Isaiah chapter 6. Verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up. And his train, the train of his robe, filled the temple. Above it stood a seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. And with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. So I said, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged. Amen. Let me just finish. Verse 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I, send me." And he said, "Go and tell this people." Amen. About 700 years before Christ was born in Bethlehem, the sad announcement was made, the king is dead. King Uzziah, the 11th king of Judah, had died. Crowned at the age of 16, he reigned for 52 years. And despite his failings, he was the greatest king since King David. The heart of the prophet was broken. Uzziah was not only his king, but also a friend. And in the midst of his pain and emptiness, Isaiah made his way to the temple to worship God. It's a good thing to do when you're low, friends. It's a good thing to do in the midst of circumstances you don't understand, is to get into the temple and start worshiping. And there in that temple, Isaiah received a vision of God that would change his life. This vision of God came at a critical moment, in a moment of uncertainty, in a moment of darkness for the nation. Isaiah had lost his earthly king whom he loved, but he caught a fresh glimpse of the King of Kings, and he met with God. He met with God. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord. It is not theology that will change lives. It is having a revelation, an encounter with the living God. And that's what we need, church. That's what we need. I made sure at the beginning of taking a 2-month break that I was not going to sit down and work on a whole new program for the church, whole new ideas, because God's Spirit challenged me not to do that. It's not about new programs. It's not about new ideas. It's seeing God. Seeing God. And out of that will flow a heart for the nations. And we must see God together. We must have a thirst and a desire for the living God. Amen. Not just here on a Sunday morning, but in our own personal encounters with God. On Fridays when we come for prayer. God, we must have a true encounter with the living God. When was the last time you saw God and God spoke to you vividly? Let God captivate your heart. And so I was challenged. What are we going to do as a church? What new programs are we going to put on? And the emphasis was on action, action, action. God said, first of all, you need to see me. You need to see me. I pray that we will see God. Amen. And funny enough, this book that someone had sent me just as I took this break, Heaven, I thought it wouldn't. I thought, well, especially a book that talked about pets in heaven, I thought, boy, this is some heresy. Now, I've given you a little bit of an appetizer. You need to understand the context of what I'm saying. It stirred me and challenged me, because Billy Fenning is going to live forever and ever and ever, amen, on a new earth. But in this space of time, I need to worship God. In this space of time, I need to see God. In this space of time, I need God to reveal himself to me for me to be effective in ministry, in life, in glorifying him, in not only what I say, but in what I do. We are called to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And if you've come to a place in your life where you have stopped learning because you believe that you know it all, then you have stopped growing. You will never come to a place in your life when you say, I've reached it. Because you never will. You never will. Don't box God in. Let God teach you. Let him lead you. Let him direct your steps into his truth. Our experience and our encounter with God started when he first made the move toward us. He took the initiative in our experience to reach us. First of all, in sending his son. That's why the writer to Hebrews was able to say, in various times God spoke to us in last days by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us through his son. And in your own individual experience, God took the initiative to reach down and touch you and speak to you. Yes. Isaiah saw the Lord because God revealed him to him. And thank God, God took the initiative to reveal himself to us. It all starts with him. In him we live, we move, and we have our being. What changes the world and brings God's kingdom is first and foremost an encounter with the living God. Some of us were with Malcolm Duncan some weeks ago up at London, and I personally have been greatly challenged by some of his writings and listening to some of the audio stuff. He said this, many of us want to see the world changed. It is really easy to start with our next big idea, our next plan. We can start new programs and reaching out into the community, whether it be helping the homeless or some other social program, which, by the way, may all be good things. Good actions. But until we have a personal encounter with God, these things will by themselves not change the world. If you know Malcolm, Malcolm is very much into social action and very much getting the Christian message through in the political arena. Very much helping the poor. And we as a church need to connect with the local community and with people. But if that's what it's all about, just that, then we've missed it. We need to go into those situations with the power of the Spirit. Amen. For those of you involved at the drop-in center, great, that's brilliant, but you are taking God's presence there. That's the difference. That's the difference. We will change the world in seeing a manifestation of God's kingdom in our lives. And that's what we need. What does that look like? What does the kingdom of God look like in my individual life? Do you know what it will look like tomorrow if you're working in an office? It will look like you're honest. You're honest with your employer. You're there in time. You're not coming in late. There's integrity with your work. You work hard. Why? Because you're working not for your employer. You're working for the King of Kings. And if you start stealing time or things from your employer, you're stealing from God. You hear? That's what the kingdom looks like. Do you know what it would look like? It would look like you are the happiest planet on planet Earth. Amen. Happiest person. Why? Because there's something of God's joy and peace in your heart. That's what it will look like. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. You need to encounter God. Let me ask you, do you know Him? Do you know Him? I'm desperate for God. It's been good to have a longer break off. I was eager to get back. But I know this, I'm desperate for God. I want to see His name being glorified here in Reading. I want to see the glory of my God covering the earth as the waters cover the sea. My prayer is that our encounter with God, we will discover something new about our God. And our encounter will transform our lives so that we will be more effective in the things belonging to the kingdom of God. Amen. I want to see us glorifying God in everything that we do as a church. As the deer pants for the waters, so my soul, it longs for you, God. David was able to cry, "Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My thirst, or my soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. For I've looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. I've looked for you in the sanctuary." I want to know Him, and I want to make Him known to a dying world. And after being in His presence, I want to say, I've been changed. God got hold of my heart and my mind. He taught me new things. He stretched my mind and my imagination. He has enlarged my coast, my capacity to receive more of Him, to realize there is yet more to know and discover about Him, to know more, to change the world because of Him. I want to encounter God. I want to come to that place to know, because of my time spent with God, it will change my life, it will change my environment, it will change where I live. Because in seeing God, it changes me. Isaiah, he received a fresh vision and a mission. In the year, it was a year of uncertainty. There was a lot wrong with the nation. The prophet Amos spoke of social injustice of the nation. The mortal fabric of the nation was at rock bottom. The political leaders didn't know where to turn. A little bit like our own nation in many ways, when we see the whole political arena and all the turmoil on the world markets with the economy, when we do look at some of the social injustice going on. But what did Isaiah see? In that year when the king died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. What else did he see? He saw these seraphims. They covered their eyes, they covered their feet, and they cried with one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. This is what he saw. The whole earth is full of his glory. That's what he saw. Yet this earth was filled and covered with sin, disaster, poverty, and pain. But in the midst of his society, when all is not well, he sees God. God is sitting on the throne. Sitting on the throne, friends. If you're placing all your trust on the economy and the markets getting better, and if you're placing all your effort and materialism and having things bigger and better security, doesn't work. Doesn't matter. What matters is me and God. That's what matters. God is my God, and he's on the throne. He's not under the throne. He's not beside the throne. He's on the throne. Despite the uncertainty of the times, God is still in control. The throne represents a place of dominion and power. Our God reigns. Hallelujah! He reigns. He reigns not over his church. Did you know that? I'm not the boss here. God is. He reigns not over his church, but he reigns over the earth. And one day, he's going to set up his kingdom. And the Bible says, forever and ever and ever. Not just 1,000 years. Forever and ever. All the other kingdoms, if you look at Daniel, came, went. But his kingdom go on forever and ever. He's in control. It was John who was in exile on the island of Patmos. He's the only one of the apostles left. The others had been martyred. Peter upside down, probably. And they're on that island, probably feeling weary, feeling uncertain about all that had gone on. After all, it's quite amazing, the past 20 years for his life and the whole growth of the church. And on that island, he said, after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the voice which I heard was the trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up hither, and I will show you things that must take place after this. And John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And immediately, he was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one set on the throne. That's what John saw in the midst of his uncertainty and pain, in his isolation. He saw Jesus on the throne. Spiritual health comes from seeing God as he is. And how we see God will determine how we relate to him. And as the seraphims ministered, they spoke prophetically of the glory of God covering the earth. And as they spoke, there was a release of power and glory. Because we read in verse 4, and the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. What is your focus this morning, church? An awareness of God's presence will bring a fresh vision of God, leading to a transformation within us that leads us to other people. His experience at the altar was followed by a commission. Look what happens here. Isaiah got in with God and heard God's heartbeat for the lost and dying world. He heard God speak. Here we have a description, I believe, of the Trinity. Who will go for us and who will we send? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He heard the voice of the Lord in the midst of what he saw. And Isaiah said, "Here am I, sent me." People of all nations, what is God calling you to do? Yes, we want to sit at his feet, but there comes a time when we will be on mission. One thing he is not calling us to do is maintenance. Just to enjoy ourselves on Sundays, but have no impact on the marketplace, on the place where I work. He is calling you to mission. That is the heartbeat of God. He loves the lost. And tomorrow at the office, tomorrow at the school gate, in your community where you live, you need to know you're taking God's presence with you. As a church, we need to engage with the lost. What are the needs of our communities? What's our mission to them? What is this gospel, this good news? The gospel not only changes me, it changes the world. Jesus is Lord. That is good news, friends. Understand it. Come on, we either believe it or we don't. There is no middle ground. No middle ground whatsoever. You either accept his words or reject them. If you reject one, you reject them all. He is Lord. And he rose again to prove what he said was true. He is Lord. That is good news. And we need to live in the power of that proclamation. We need to understand what it is to be good news people. People on mission. Thank God for those of you involved in the medical profession. But remember, tomorrow you take God's presence into the hospital. For those of you who are teachers, you will be taking God's presence into the classroom. You are vessels of God's glory. The gospel is this: I'm called to be the hands and feet of Jesus. That's my calling. In verse 6, we read that the angel came, that their seraphim, and flew, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it. And he said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged." Oh, I want to thank God for that day when God came and touched my life and saved me. And my sin completely forgiven. Completely forgiven. And when I thought about my eternal destiny, I thought, boy, isn't life wonderful? Because I get the best of both worlds. I enjoy myself here on planet Earth to a degree. But I thank God that I will enjoy God even more on the new Earth. Amen. And I started to think about family members. Where are they going? Because to go to hell is to go to a place where there is no presence of God. And I'm going to be bringing this all up, friends. You need to face the reality of eternity and death with joy and peace, amen, and your works will follow you. Praise him. But God touched my life and he saved me. He saved me. He gave me the gift of forgiveness. He cleansed my sin. But He gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit to empower us to see transformation. And just as the seraphim took the coal off the altar, God came and He touched my life. He touched my life. Many of us have been touched by God, and we want to keep it just to ourselves. I love the story of the Mount of Transfiguration when Peter, John, and James had the privilege of seeing Christ in His glory, in the brightness of His glory. I don't know what the other disciples thought when they came down from the mountain. You know, I can just imagine Andrew saying, well, why wasn't I invited? You know, it seemed as Jesus had a special relationship with Peter, James, and John because they seemed to be in on things and they got going and experiencing things that the other disciples didn't experience. Well, it's not Jesus didn't have cliques, but there are different levels in relationship. And these three had a unique experience on the Mount of Transfiguration. Boy, if one experience I would have wanted to be Peter, James, and John, not they, on that mount, when God revealed Himself in all His glory. And they were still alive. They saw the brightness of God in their midst. And it was so good an experience. What did they want to do? They wanted to build a booth. Oh, Jesus, thank You so much. You have blessed us today. Oh, hands raised, enjoying Your presence. What an experience of seeing the brightness of Your glory. Let us stay on this mountain and we will build a tabernacle. We will build a booth and contain it. What did Jesus say? No, no, no. You can't stay here. You live down there. Friends, we can't stay here. We live out there. And your experience with God must affect the people out there. You just can't build a tabernacle and contain the presence and glory of God in some kind of box. No, we have to go down the mountain. Many of us, we want to turn our encounter with God into a sacred moment. But God says, go and influence the world where you live. And if we are not careful, we may find that this abundant life that God has given us, bubbling up in us, and this Spirit of God being poured out on us, to empower us, to enable us, is just being enjoyed by us. Do you know what God wants? God wants us to be blessed so that we can pass it on. Give it away. Be generous. Don't be stingy. Pass it on. Give it out. And God's plan is not for us just to be blessed. We need to connect. Not just preaching at them from a distance, but involving ourselves in people's lives. How good are you at serving, friend? How good are you in the community where you live? Let me ask you, the people around your little community, do you know them? I'm amazed how many people in Reading don't know their neighbors. I'm guilty of it. I know people come and go. But do we know them? How can you connect with people that you don't even know their names? When they arrive in your community, what about a card, a little cake, just to connect? What about Christmas time, inviting them over for coffee, mince pie? That's connecting. What if you hear they're not well, they're ill? Just a little card or some food. That's connecting. That's involving yourself in the community. How good are you at serving? What group are you involved in outside of church? Come on, church. I know some of you, praise God, some of you are school governors. Brilliant! Because you involved yourself out of something outside of church. You're involved in a school. You're influencing a school. Some of you are involved in the drop-in center. Praise God! If our worship does not change us, then it has not been true worship. When we worship God in spirit and in truth on Sundays, it should provide us a platform to worship God in our actions on Mondays. True worship is reaching out into the world and extending the kingdom of God. We have a mission statement at the church. You should all know it. Some of you might, and some of you may not. But our mission is simple: to glorify God, to extend His kingdom, and to serve one another. Malcolm Duncan said, "I want to be a God-gazer, captured by the brilliance that springs from the radiance of you." But if you are just a God-gazer, and that is all it means to you, that you enjoy your relationship with Him, then that has become selfish and sinful. Because your experience of God must have an impact upon people around you. Worshipping the Almighty and considering all He wants from us and change us. God is at work, you know, where you are. And as we worship Him, considering all that He wants in us, from us, that will change us. Christianity is more than just gazing at God and God gazing at me. I enjoy Him and He enjoys me. And all is well. No. 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 We have commercialized our faith and turned church into an alternative center for therapy. Jesus wasn't just a preacher. He wasn't just a church builder. He was a man and God who walked amongst us, who met with ordinary people to transform every part of society. And we must do the same. I love this gospel. And my mission is to take this gospel to the world. I love the testimony of an Asian girl. It went something like this: "A friend built a bridge to me, and Jesus walked over it." And God wants you to build bridges where you live, where you work. Some of you, your greatest opportunity is being on the train. You maybe spend hours on the train each week. You may be there with the same people. That's your mission. That's your mission. Let's build bridges. Jesus said, "Occupy till I come." In other words, start investing. Start investing time and energy for the things of the kingdom. Because what you are doing, listen, church, and here's the concept: what I do on this earth is putting treasure in the bank for the new earth. Isn't that what Jesus said about treasure? Huh? And so don't think of your time here wasted and you're coming to the end of your time on this planet earth. No, invest more. Because there is a continuity, it will carry on, amen. That's why he said, "Trade till I come, occupy till I come." So it's important. It's important that I allow the Spirit of God to captivate my imagination in connecting with people. I know one person, I don't know if they're here this morning, but they're a social worker. I won't mention them by name, and they're involved in just helping in people who are not able, older people now, or are not able to help themselves. Now, it's not part of her job description. Maybe her bosses may not enjoy it, but she will pray for the people at the end of her little visit. She will pray for them. Boy, that's bringing the kingdom of God into situations. I love local church. The local church is God's means of seeing communities changed and the transformation of the world. We don't need new programs. We don't need new projects. We need people filled with the Spirit of God. People who will see mission as a core value of their lives. People who will allow God's love to flow through them. Go and invade the impossible. Go and invade your communities with the glory of God. Go with the presence of God and the power of God and make a difference to the world in which you live. I want to hear testimonies week after week, month after month. I want to hear testimonies of how you are reaching the world. Amen. I want to hear more testimonies of how we are doing. We need to stir up that gift God has given to us. Will you take a risk and walk across the room? Will you hold your hand of friendship to someone who's lonely? God, give us mercy. Give us mercy. Let's stand together. Praise you, Lord. Let's just close our eyes in the presence of God. Church, I'm not going to make an appeal this morning and asking you to come forward here to the front, although there will be a team of people at the front and they will pray for you. If you have a need in your body, we're going to have more and more people just praying for you. But just as we stand around, let's close our eyes. When you think of people around you, how you will affect them, but God, you need to see God this morning. You need to have a new, fresh encounter with the Almighty. You need to see God. I'm asking you this morning, what do you see? Just as God asked Ezekiel, what do you see, son? What do you see? Do I see a dying world as God sees that dying world? Those of you who help with the youth activities here at All Nations, those of you who help with moms and toddlers, what do you see when you come out on a Tuesday or Wednesday? Those of you who come out on a Friday night, what do you see? Do you see opportunities? What do you see, church? Come on, what do you see? When you come here on a Sunday morning, even today, as we enjoy God's presence, is this what it's all about? No, it's not. But what do you see? What do you see? Yes, I do want to be a God-gazer, gazing into the brilliance of His brightness. But I also want to be a world-changer. A world changer. Because my encounter with the Almighty God will affect how I see things. I will start seeing things as God sees things. My encounter with God, I will feel His heartbeat. And He's weeping. As He wept over Jerusalem, He's weeping for the brokenness of society, for the sinfulness and how people live. He's broken. New church. He's given you the key. The key that you might live in the power of the Holy Spirit and be transformed. And so, God, we come here today and we stand. We stand. And just as we stand, just you renew your commitment to God, or just make that prayer, God, renew me. God, fill me again. Encounter God right now where you stand, church. Amen. Encounter God. Holy Spirit, just come. Come. Take me. Take me. Let my encounter with you be real. Let my encounter with you, oh God, be so real. God. Jesus. Jesus. Yes, Lord. God. Oh, God. Lord, we renew our hearts today. And we stir up the gift that you've placed within us. Oh God, help us, we pray, to live the life you want us to live. Fill us with your Spirit again, oh God, again, refresh us, renew us in the Holy Spirit, that our lives will be lived in obedience to your command, to go into all the world and preach the gospel, teaching them. God, help us, we pray, to be what you've called us to be, salt and light in a world that is decaying, in a world that is in darkness, a world that doesn't know you. Help us to be that influence for good, we pray, that you might be glorified. God, we stand here today and we need you. God, we need you. We need more of your grace. And Lord, let us be generous people. Generous as we give and give and give. Not just of our material wealth or our finances, but of our lives, of our kindness, our love. God, help us to be generous. And so we stand here today, oh God, in need of you. And we bless you this day. Amen.